The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Produced with podcasting gear from Tascam. Trust your audio to Tascam. Sound thinking.
This show brought to you by Jersey Ninja. New items added weekly, superior quality products, excellent selection, competitive pricing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Jersey Ninja at jerseyninja.com, your source for great quality hockey jerseys and performance wear products.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best man.
With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan.
It's a fake plan.
It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, it can be exactly what you need.
I'm gonna suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I have indeed been uploaded, gentlemen, online and ready.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It is the Intrepid Duo this week because there was some sabotage here in the lair.
Yes, there was.
Whoever you are, we will find you. Lord help you when we do. Because only the Shadow knows. Oh, wait, wrong company.
Yeah, that's not. I don't think he was ever. I'm pretty sure he wasn't, but you know. You know what? No.
Yeah, wrong company.
That was the Phantom.
Yeah.
Because Marvel did do the Defenders of the Earth cartoon, but the Shadow was part of the group.
No, so it was Phantom. And I think even with some of those characters, it was still one of those, it was a licensed deal just for the cartoon.
Yeah, King Features own the rights to them, and they're heavily protective of like their properties and letting other people do stuff. So technically, King Features still own the characters, but I do believe that there was a Defenders of the Earth cartoon. I mean, I know there was a cartoon, but I believe there was a Defenders of the Earth comic also. Now, I believe that was Marvel. Like it might have been Star Comics, maybe.
Okay.
Under his brand, yeah.
Actually, Star would have been for kids only. Unless it was potentially Epic, which would have been creator.
No, it wasn't. I don't remember it being Epic. I could be wrong, but I don't remember it being Epic. Because, come to think of it, there was who was it? Silverhawks cartoon and Silverhawks comic, and the Silverhawks was on the Star too, which I thought was weird, but yeah.
All right.
The funny thing is I think the only book from Star to survive all of that was Power Pack. I think they were the only ones.
Could have been. Very well could have been.
Mm-hmm.
So check out the homepage. I know it's still behind. I'm working on it, folks. I really am. But check them out. Right hand side, support our affiliates. Supporting them helps support us. So
appreciate it and
get right into it. Starting off with collectibles this week, and we have coming soon to the Walmart collector shop because their collector comms coming. All these are pre-orders now. Marvel Legends series, Captain America from Secret Empire.
Oh,
So it's the newer costume of Steve Rogers with that new shield.
Yes.
Too bad the shield does not come, cannot be separated and used as two different, unless it comes with two different shields, which looking at the packaging, it does not, which is a shame, but I like this one and I'm hoping they eventually do the variant where they take this costume and do the green for Hydra.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was, I mean, you know, the,
because then I'll grab the comic version of Sam Wilson as Cap too.
Right. You know, as unpopular as that story arc was, say what you will about it, I still think it was there were some bold writing with that, you know?
Well, and come to find out, the whole thing was something done by Red Skull in the long run.
Right.
Brilliant. I mean, a great storyline. It was something we never expected, and
right,
it pulled off brilliantly.
Yes.
I mean, how cool would it be to eventually see, even if it was done as a, I would say, an 8-episode one-off Marvel, right, Secret Empire on Disney Plus with Sam, you bring back Chris Evans briefly, mm-hmm, for this and do the whole, now, whoever the new Red Skull is, and do the whole Secret Empire story arc into a comic.
Right.
Just as a one-off.
I think that would be, that'd be one of those things that people, like, given that the non-comic reading public would not, obviously, they wouldn't be aware of that story.
Right.
That would be something that would just totally floor them, you know?
I think if you're going to potentially bring Hydra back into the MCU, that's the way to do it.
Yes.
Just forget any other story arc. Go full Secret Empire and maybe figure out a way of adding in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to it. You know, put that MCU spin on it.
Yes. That
would be great.
Because how many stories are out there about how the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not MCU canon? Like, and there's so many stories every other day, you know, when they're talking about especially now they're talking about the role that the Netflix shows play in the series, play in the MCU.
Right. Which they're saying all that is canon.
Right. Exactly. All that's canon, but yet Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not. And even in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it referenced several times things going on in the MCU and at times things that were going on in the Netflix shows.
I want to say through season 4, they essentially kept through canon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kept the show almost canon. And then they split off to their own timeline when they went to the future for 5, 6, and 7. Was that 7 seasons they went?
Yeah. I believe it was, I know for sure, because, okay, so they went into the future when Infinity War came out, because the last thing that you hear before they go into the future was that a wheel was seen coming down in New York.
Correct.
And then, you know, then they're off in the future.
Which would be pre-snap.
Pre-snap, yeah. And then I remember, that summer our questions were, when we come back, who's going to be snapped, who's not? Does this affect the show? Does it not affect the show? And I get why they did what they did, but at the same time...
Well, there were 7 seasons of the show, and I'm trying to find a breakdown of different seasons of what was what. Season 6 only had 13 episodes. Season 7 only had 13 episodes.
Right.
Hey, it was season 7 that kind of got us through COVID.
Yeah, it did. It did.
It ended up being a summer series, which ended up being a good thing. Well, actually, 6 and 7 ended up almost being a summer series.
And wasn't that when they started doing the pods? They were doing the pods. That's where they introduced
Ghost
Rider.
Season 4 was when they pods.
Okay.
Season 4 is when they did the pods. They did the Ghost Rider. Then they did LMD.
Right.
And then they did Agents of Hydra. So Agents of Hydra.
Yes.
That's what eventually leads to them going to space.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes. Because season 5, episode 1 and 2 is when it starts the whole, what we thought was S.W.O.R.D. and the whole jumping forward space.
Right.
So, and then they go back. So, season 6, I don't remember what season 6 was. See, I vaguely remember 6. I watched it. I vaguely remember. This is after the death again of Coulson.
Right. Oh, that's right.
And Mac is rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. Right. So at this point in time, when they come back from the future, I believe is when supposedly they may have done a... It's the speculation that they did the timeline jump or multiverse jump, and they're in a separate multiverse or a separate universe.
Right.
So starting with season 5, they are no longer in the MCU universe. They have now moved on to another multiverse.
Right.
Which still means they could tie everything in.
Right.
To the MCU. Because technically in humans, now the speculation is, well, they're all part of the 818 universe, which is the universe they go to where Black Bolt's killed in Multiverse of Madness, Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, which, okay, I can buy that. If you're going to potentially put Inhumans there, cool, especially since there was no other ties to any other Marvel characters in that 8-episode arc.
Right.
So, yeah, that could have taken place in that 818 or what people have been calling the 818. That they go to where we get X-Men and everything else.
Right.
And the other Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. Rambo is Marvel, you know, where Rambo became Marvel.
Right.
Black Bolt, Captain Carter and all that. That's all 818.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, it's possible because Agent Carter, that series is MCU.
Right.
Would drop in just fine. Runaways, Cloak and Dagger. And there was another one. I guess Inhumans are the only ones that would not be considered. There was Runaways, Cloak and Dagger, Inhumans, and Agents.
Hellstrom.
Oh, hell, I think everyone wants to. I don't even think Hellstrom thought it was in the MCU.
I think you're right.
So, but with the others, can they fit in the MCU somewhere? Well, if you bring the characters in portrayed by those actors, then yes, they are all brought in by a multiverse scenario. And why not create a multiverse scenario? To bring them all in.
Right. And, you know, and it's sort of like, I know some people call it lazy writing, but the multiverse does allow, you know, anything to be canon at that point. So, like, to me, when they talk about something not being canon, I'm like, well, no, there's the multiverse. So,
right.
Is it really not canon, you know?
Well, here's the deal. Why is it not? Why is some stuff not canon? Because it was all around the time, as we talked about, where Feige was having issues with the creative committee mm-hmm. and got Marvel Studios separated into their own entity within the Disney company, essentially creating a mm-hmm. split within Marvel. So now you have Marvel Studios and you have Marvel Entertainment, two different groups. And Marvel Entertainment does everything that's print media related and handles their end of licensing for merch.
Right.
Marvel Studios does everything that's video related and the corresponding merch with all that. Marvel Entertainment is seeing the royalty checks for everything coming from Universal here in Orlando with Marvel Island, because that's all comic-based characters. They don't have the rights to the MCU look of characters. Whereas California, with Avengers
uh-huh.
Campus, that all the monies there go to the MCU, or go to Marvel Studios, because it's all based on Marvel Studios characters, even though it's right. still all Marvel comics.
So, okay, so that would mean, and I know they're not doing this, but that would mean that Universal could have old school Nick Fury.
Yes, that's the only way they could do old school Nick Fury. Or is Nick Fury right, the old school?
But they wouldn't be able to do Nick Fury Jr. or Ultimate Nick Fury, depending on how you want to name him.
Nope.
So, okay. All right.
They can have Captain America and right now they can have Captain America and Storm standing side by side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They've had Captain America and Spider-Man standing side by side long before they appeared in the movie together. That's because of the time period.
Right.
And they get more of the green tree characters.
Right.
More the comic looks, comic cartoon looks. They cannot do anything with live action looks. So, yeah, all the fun, all the joy.
So see kids, there's a thing called legalities. And,
yep.
And it just confuses everything.
Yep. Yes, it does. So, yeah. That's the two items coming to Walmart as part of their collector con is the Spider Supreme and Prowler. There's the comic version of Prowler coming out in the purple and green, which looks nice.
I'm digging that because I get to, you know, I'm kind of running into Prowler. I'm running into Prowler in Spider-Man, Miles Morales. So he kind of plays a role in it. So.
Did they ever make a Prowler Legends figure based on the first Spider-Man animated film? That was what, Into the Spider-Verse?
Honestly, dude, I don't remember that. I feel like I should know that, but I don't remember seeing that.
I don't remember either, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, VV Comics launches digital comics and collecting platform. With the launch on March 14th, VV Comics launched, giving comic book fans a new way to collect and read new release comics. The new comics reader app and web store fills a current gap in the industry, bringing fans non-subscription access to premium licensed digital comic books. One of the publishers on this platform is Marvel Comics, as actually its first publisher, offering comic book enthusiasts access to 300 plus new digital issues on launch day. New comics added weekly on the same day the titles are released in print. Interesting.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
So,
say least.
So with VV Comics, cool. Question is, could you, I wonder how this is going to vary with Marvel Unlimited and Comixology.
You know, I don't think that Marvel would, I wonder if it's going to be all titles or just limited titles. That's, that's the thing, because I can't see Marvel doing that and basically shooting themselves in the foot.
Right. Well, VV, you know? VV was founded in 2018 to offer premium licensed digital collectibles and comics. Will coexist with its VV Comics counterpart. You says, who's you? Let me go back and check. It is a free app on Android and Apple. David Yu is the CEO and co-founder. He says... fans that you says fans that use both VV and VV Comics apps will utilize a single account, removing any obstacles of managing both. Whether you're building a library to read online or offline, collect issues from your favorite comic cover artist in VV Comics, or seek to sell or buy limited edition comics and explore other limited edition digital collectibles in VV. We want the experience to be seamless. Okay. So if you have the book and then you get the digital copy on VV, and then when you're done, if you want to sell it, you can sell the physical copy through VV?
I guess so. That's what it sounds like.
Dan Carruthers, COO and co-founder, says, "We're embracing the opportunity to revolutionize digital comic publishing, particularly when it's done with the same fandom and passion as our incredible audience. We agreed that it had to start with the fans around the world. Our goal is to help unlock access to the world of comics and give the comic book community greater access to mobile-first experiences while preserving the artistry, storytelling, and heritage of the world's most iconic comic book characters." I'm going to have to go check this out now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check it out because I want to know more.
Okay.
I really do. So my question
is, go ahead.
I'm on VV Comics website now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to go. Right now, they're not going to get my business.
Why not? What are you saying?
There's no Marvel Star Wars. So... I mean, a lot of it is like Marvel Gods, Ultimate Invasion, Ultimate Universe, Ultimate Spider-Man, House of the Fallen X, X-Men, all current stuff. Amazing Spider-Man Gang War. But they, when you get say God's number one, it's $9.99, or you get the limited edition comic. And when you ask what's the difference between the regular and limited editions, limited edition gives you all the features of standard comic and extends your collecting experience by allowing you to view it in augmented reality, earn master collector points, sell it on the VV market, and more. Upgrade this comic when you receive a randomly assigned rarity from available editions. So,
I don't know how I feel about it.
So for this limited edition, you could get, or they offer like five different covers.
Okay.
So cool. Now my question is
like,
what's that?
As it is like walking into a shop, like if you're fortunate that your shop has some variant covers, you can choose which cover you want or get all the covers. Okay.
It says, like I'm looking at Ultimate Universe. Common cover, 1 in 1.61. Uncommon, 1 in 3.70. Ultra rare, 1 in 9.34. Secret rare, 1 in 31.41. So chances are you're going to get a common. You would have to almost try and figure out the logarithm to figure out how you hit that secret rare every time, or the ultra rare, to pull one of those two, because I'm sure it's a timing thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, but there are 9 comics to read on the platform right now. There's Avengers number 1, Black Panther number 1, Captain Marvel number 1, Fall of the House of X number 1, Fantastic Four number 12, Gods number 1, Immortal Thor number 1, Miss Marvel the New Mutant number 1, Ultimate Spider-Man number 1, which you could catch these and more over on VV Comics, but these are the ones that were highlighted at South by Southwest where all this was announced.
Right.
So, be interesting. I'm curious to see how this goes.
I often wonder if, it's sort of like how, there's NFTs and that sort of thing, and people invest in those and whatnot. And I'm curious about how wise an investment that would be. Like if you're like, and I get it. Like to me, like I am a comic book collector, but I don't collect comics because I plan on, funding my retirement with them. I collect them because I love them, and that's where I'm at. But I know there are people who, as long as I've been alive, they speculate. That's what they do. And so this sounds like just kind of taking speculation to the next level. If that's the case, how viable is that?
Right.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what this looks like 12 months from now.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong. For all I know, it could be hot. People could all be jumping on this, but I don't see it happening.
I don't either. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't want to wish ill will, but I'm almost like, I don't understand, I just don't understand. So, that's just me.
Yeah. I could be wrong. Like I said, I've been around long enough to see things come and go. So, and some things take and some things don't. But ultimately, it feels like it all comes back around to what we have in the comic shop.
Right.
Ultimately. I love having Marvel Unlimited. I love having access to all those books. I love the fact that I'm able to, if I wanted to read all of, Extinction Agenda, it's there. And it'll give it to me in order, and I don't have to go searching for the next book. It'll pull it up for me, I love that. But at the same time, I love that I can grab a trade and, kick back and spend an afternoon reading that comic, just looking at it, on my e-reader.
Right.
I like the experience of actually having that book in hand. So I don't know. And that might be generational, but I feel like that's something that a lot of people like to have, that experience of holding that book, smelling that book, feeling that book.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Iman Vellani wants Miss Marvel to join the MCU's X-Men. Okay. Smart girl.
Okay.
Smart girl. She knows.
Right.
Apparently she's following the comics, knowing that
right.
she's become a mutant. This is the direction.
Right.
This is someone who's now saying the character should follow the comics. Perfect. They never identified mm-hmm. her as an inhuman.
No.
They never said Photon was an inhuman.
No, they didn't.
So, now here we are at the end of the Marvels, setting up Kamala as the founder of the MCU's Young Avengers team, but there's no shortage of groups Miss Marvel could join. Woo! Speaking to comicbook.com, Iman revealed that the X-Men would be her team of choice and why she would pick them over the other options. On the big screen, X-Men. I don't think that's a bad answer. I think X-Men is so cool, and it really just marks her as a legitimate mutant, and all the naysayers can no longer say nay, okay?
Right.
Which I think is part of the reason why they did that in the comics as well. It's for whatever right. reason, Inhumans is now almost like a no-no to say.
Right.
Like, let's just kill it off. As she notes, there's been some detractors to Kamala Khan's emergence as a Marvel mutant. Some fans have expressed hesitation about the MCU having more influence on the comics instead of vice versa. The character was originally introduced as an Inhuman who gained her powers following exposure to Terrigen Mist. It's been her status quo mm-hmm. for most of her existence, but things started to change with Ms. Marvel on Disney+. In that series, Kamala Khan was introduced as the MCU's first confirmed mutant,
mm-hmm.
but they never called her a mutant in the show.
No, I think the closest that they got to was her friend said that she has a mutation. That's the closest that they got, but they never full on called her a mutant.
No. Now in the comics, go ahead.
But it is fair to say that if you have a mutation, you're a mutant.
If you have a mutation, you're an inhuman as well.
Eh.
Or did
okay,
I just
that's fair.
Or did I just overreact, knee jerk on that?
No, you know, you're right. It's completely fair because you can't just say, you know, if you because and that's true. Okay, like
let me ask this question.
Point is, right.
Can you be an inhuman and not be a mutant? No.
I say. Well, okay. Here's the thing. To be inhuman, you have to go through the Terrigen Mist. That's what kicks off whatever it is that you have, power it is.
And that creates a mutation. That makes you a mutant.
I feel like that the mutation is already there. The Terrigen Mist just
activated. It. Yeah.
Right.
But can you be a mutant and not be an inhuman?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's why. Because my understanding of the way the X gene works, it's something that in you, you're just born with it. And when you hit puberty, that's what kicks it off. Although some people are born with it and it's activated right away. But for a lot of them, it kicks off in puberty. So although to look at Wade Wilson, that's a different animal altogether because Wade Wilson's, his wasn't kicked off until he went through the Weapon X program because otherwise his wouldn't have kicked off.
True.
Yeah. You know, his body went through whatever it went through and I don't know if it was the cancer that activated it.
I think it was.
So the cancer activated his healing gene, which, you know, so a mutant doesn't have to, like somebody who's homo superior doesn't have to go through the Terrigen Mist. Like it's just going to naturally happen for them. I think that if somebody was inhuman and they did not go through the Terrigen Mist, it wouldn't have kicked off for them.
Right.
So, you know.
And thinking about Deadpool made me just go off on a quick tangent. Just realize. Mm-hmm. Right now, your four sharpest sharpshooters in Marvel is Bullseye, Deadpool, Hawkeye, and Kate Bishop.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
They're the ones who could give a housefly a haircut and not kill the housefly.
That's true. That is true.
So So, you know, in the comics, there's been a lot of that we don't know about Ms. Marvel's mutant status. Last year, it was revealed that her mutant powers have yet to emerge as a result of her being an Inhuman. As a co-writer on the current Ms. Marvel comics, Iman is helping to tell Ms. Marvel's story as a mutant, and that could help shape the direction of the MCU. And Iman says that's the plan. So I did not realize she's helping write her character in the comics.
I neither. No.
So that's
major.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
That's absolutely brilliant. That shows a dedication to character and shows an embracement of that character. So I think that's pretty cool.
I mean, I thought it was pretty. And they're, you know, they get all the information they can on their characters.
Right.
But how many, like in this case, actually continue to have input on.
Well, I would be curious to know, too. And at this point in time, I would love to have Iman on the show, because now she's not only Ms. Marvel, but she's also one of the writers of Ms. Marvel. It would be cool for her to come on and do double duty, talk about her time on the films and on the show, and talk about her time writing the book.
Well, you know, maybe we can make that happen.
We'll work on it. So, some disappointing news. According to CBR, the MCU is about to feel a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Because according to Twitter, the Hollywood handle on Twitter said Marvel Studios is reportedly trying to take less risks and focusing on more guaranteed hits. Movies like Captain Marvel 3 and Ant-Man 4 won't happen. Eternals 2 is reportedly on hold as well. Feige reportedly wants it to be made, but Iger thinks it's a guaranteed flop. So before I go any further in this, you know, these were all Twitter posts.
Okay.
What is it about Eternals that's got Feige still pushing it, despite the fact that the first film didn't do, I don't think, did great? I mean, it wasn't a bomb, but it didn't have the greatest reception.
No, it didn't.
But Iger's very quick to say it's a guaranteed flop without there being any story treatment or anything else. What is the deal with Eternals? Mind you, it's a Marvel movie I did not go to the theaters to see.
I liked it, and I said it several times here that I do like it, but I am willing to admit that it is not your typical Marvel movie, and there's a lot that they're throwing at, you know, at the viewer. There's a lot. It does better with a second or a third viewing, you know, but I mean, they throw a lot at you. I mean, you got what, 8 new characters? You got 8 new characters. You got all their backstories and how they relate to the world that we know. And also the big question is, why didn't they do anything about the snap? There's a lot to that movie. There's a lot.
Right.
But also, I like that it kind of gave us a different type of storytelling from the MCU. I was hoping to see more of that style of storytelling, but I guess it just didn't.
Okay, so let me ask
this. It just didn't fly?
Should have been a 2-part movie where the first part you introduce, out of the 10 new characters introduced, new heroes, Marvel heroes, introduce half of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then have the first movie end with kind of a cliffhanger with the introduction of the other 5. And then you finish off the part 2 with the entire group. Would that have made things a little easier?
That might have, you know, it's like, do you eat a 12, I don't know, do you eat a 12-inch sub altogether, or is it easier to cut that thing in half or quarters, you know?
Right now,
so
for me, I eat half, save the other half for either dinner or lunch the next day.
See, there you go. You know, it's a lot to try and eat that thing all at once. And if you do eat it all at once, you kind of going to regret it. No, so,
yeah.
You know, I was able to do it. I like the movie, the big movie as a whole. I get it. But, you know, it's sort of like if you look at what they did with Dune, you know, they broke it up into two parts. That's a big story. It's a lot to do.
Right.
All in one. So they broke it up in two, and people are receptive to that. And, you know,
I almost maybe feel that's Eternal should have been the same way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, case in point, look at what happened with Infinity War and Endgame. Okay. Understanding that they did not have Infinity War and Endgame ready to go in one big story. But, you know, you could have taken your they took their time with it and developed both halves so that you had one really great story.
Right.
Maybe that's what they could have done with this. I mean, because the Inhumans, I mean, the not the Inhumans. Wow.
This was pretty big to introduce in a superhero realm to introduce 10 new heroes all in one film at the same time.
Right.
That was a huge undertaking.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
What other film has done that superhero wise?
I really can't think of anything else. I can't think of anything that's been
done. It's the closest thing I could think of.
The first one or second one?
First one.
And think about it. How well received was the first one?
It was very hard received. I even very critical of that one.
Right.
Second one, yeah, introduced a lot, but it thinned out the herd pretty quick to focus on what was going to end up being the main character.
Yeah, I think the most like the most characters that you can, I believe that the most characters that you could introduce. In a movie, and people feel comfortable is I would say five or six tops. There is people say, well, what about the Dirty Dozen? And that's true. You know, you're looking at what 12, 13, 14 characters, maybe more. But that's also a movie that
it's a military film.
Done. It's a military film, so that's going to be different. I feel that.
I would say the same thing with Expendables.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because like the Expendables, you're depending on the team, you're looking at anywhere from 7 to 10, maybe 12 characters. And that's including the team and also the bad guys too. But for whatever reason, I really can't. I wish I could put my finger on it and adequately explain it here, but I feel like that's just different. It's sort of like if you look at somebody said, well, what about the Justice League? You know, the thing is, each of those individual characters you're familiar with already. You put them together as a team. That's fine because you already know who these characters are as individuals. Now you're just putting them together. And that's true for the Avengers. Like if they wanted to make the Avengers some crazy super team with, you know, like it was back in the 80s at times with a crazy huge roster, they could do that and get away with it because for the most part, people are familiar with these characters because they're individual movies. But when we're talking about the Eternals, we're introducing, 10 new characters, giving 10 backstories, and then talking about how they fit into the MCU as we know it, and trying to get to know them, feel comfortable with them, so that they when they pop up again later, we're like, oh, I know who that guy is, or I know who that woman is, or what have you? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I think the whole idea that we talked about doing two different films would have given you a chance to build up five before you build up two or three of your main characters and two of your supporting. And then with the part two, add two more of your main characters and the other three supporting.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not going to be a problem.
No. And, maybe they circle back to it and bring these characters out again, but in other properties so that we get to be reintroduced to them. I would love that. I don't know if they're going to do that, though.
Probably not, unfortunately. Because at this point in time, I'm almost going to say it, with Iger in charge, it's not going to happen. And I almost feel we are at that stage with Iger coming back in many ways, because of the same way with Chapek when he was in, that we're hitting the same time period as when Eisner was coming towards the end of his time with the company.
Right, right.
Mm. Where there's a lot of bad decisions being made at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Trickling down, because they have lost insight of what the company is and what it should be doing.
Right.
Because I saw that with Eisner. I mean, Eisner brought a lot of great growth to this company. Iger,
right.
When Iger took over, he restored a lot of faith because he repaired a lot of things, spent a lot of money.
Right.
It got to the point where the company was thriving and he kind of knew when to back out. Great. Right. Chapek came in, and Wang came in during the time of COVID. So yes, he had that going against him. Can't fault him for that. But there was a lot of other decisions made that just was destroying the company. And then with Iger coming back with us already on a crash, which you need to recover from that and not spend more money to acquire more things instead of spending more money to repair damages, is the direction things went. And then by doing that, you forgot steps that were needed to be taken, such as promotion, such as marketing, which helped bring things home.
Yes.
And that's why you had 2023 was a flop, because you could have still marketed things without the writers, without SAG, for the promotions. You could have found ways to creatively. We are a creative. Disney is a creative company. Right. Hollywood is a creative industry. You could have figured out creative ways how to do it without violating or crossing the writer strike or the SAG strike at the time.
Right.
And you didn't. You used it as an excuse and used it as a way of, well, we weren't going to market this anyway. This just gives us a great excuse not to market.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I can't really point to any particular company that did outside of, and it's not fair. I would put you like this. It's not fair to point at the success of Barbie and Oppenheimer, because Barbie and Oppenheimer both started like marketing their stuff a year before those movies came out. So by the time, you know, what the strikes hit, what, about 2 or 3 months before those movies were to come out.
But they were already promoting like crazy, though.
They were, and they were promoting like crazy up to that point. So they were already pretty much established. So by the time you got that last 3 months, all you had to do was keep running ads. And it was the material that, you know, the actors weren't hitting the talk show circuit. They weren't, you know, showing up at the conventions or showing up at this event, at that event, talking about their movies. And I'm not about to say that every movie needs to do that, because that's tiring. But at the same time, there has to be something that you can do. It looks like that we're fine with this for now. But we had the perfect storm, because the writers hit, the writer strike hit, SAG-AFTRA hit. Wait. You know.
But here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Look at the films that came out before then.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Barbie and Oppenheimer, how much promotion was there with that? Because Guardians of the Galaxy was before.
Right. And you know, and that's true. They dragged their feet on Guardians. They dragged their feet on Ant-Man. And they dragged their feet on that. They dragged their feet on...
And all that was before. Well,
Black Panther.
Black Panther was 2022. And there still wasn't a lot of promotion out there.
No, it wasn't.
So it was failing before going into the strike.
It was.
And don't say, oh, we're prepping for the strike. Okay, if you were prepping for the strike, then you should have been promoting and pushing everything before then.
Mm-hmm. And if that was the case, even with as many times as the Marvels got moved, because Marvels got moved, what, 2 or 3 times?
Yep.
And you could have you could have been promoting the heck out of that movie. And obviously somebody just didn't care, or they just didn't know what to do with it or whatever. I enjoyed the Marvels, and most of the people in my circle enjoyed it too.
Melissa and Zoe enjoyed it, and they,
yeah.
And for them, that's their favorite character. I mean, Melissa, Miss Marvel, or Captain Marvel is her favorite MCU character, her favorite MCU film. Mm-hmm. For Zoe, Miss Marvel is it. And the movie did well for them. They were ecstatic. Unlike my daughter is also a huge Wonder Woman fan. Loved the first film. Was totally disappointed in the second film, Wonder Woman 84.
Well, yeah, this.
But who wasn't right at that point in time?
Right.
So, I mean, it's one of those, come on. What do you do? You, despite the lack of marketing, my family, who I use as a judge, felt they were great films. It was a great film. My right. daughter loved Guardians of the Galaxy. That of the films, that's her franchise.
Right.
But as we said, there's no promotion behind it.
No, none.
Why?
Well, I got my thoughts on that, but you know, that those may not be here nor there, but I do have my thoughts. So
my thoughts is because they wanted to utilize the strikes as the excuse for not being able to market, because they didn't have any plans in place, because they didn't know how to market it.
Right.
So that's my thought. And feel free to tell me I'm way off base.
No, I think I wonder if, I'll admit, there's this part of me that wonders if they just did not. Okay. I don't want to say that they just didn't know what to do with it. I'm not going to say that at all. But I wonder if, because there's so much like, well, we don't know who our demographic is with this, so they just didn't even try. Like, they just kind of stopped, you know? Or either that, or they're like, well, you know, hey, people, the last Ms. Marvel did well, so the last Captain Marvel did well, so you know what? We'll just say, hey, we got a Captain Marvel movie coming out, and, you know, let the word of mouth do the rest. And that's not going to happen, you know? Especially when superhero fatigue is a thing, you know?
Right.
Now here's the thing. I don't think superhero fatigue is a thing among the public. I believe it's a thing among the media. And because the media will say superhero fatigue is a thing, the people reading said media believe it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for some reason, horror, there's no horror movie fatigue. We got plenty of horror movies that come out. We don't have rom-com fatigue. There's tons of rom-coms that come out, you know.
But
historical drama, yeah, you know, I don't know.
But superheroes, sci-fi, it's all geek themed, and they want to squash the geeks. Hence why, with my other show, we say we're the voice of the geek revolution over on We Be Geeks, because we push and keep out there the geek films, the geek culture, make it mainstream, because it has become mainstream despite the fact that other people want to shut it down.
Yes.
And the easiest way to shut it down is, well, they don't attack sci-fi as much, but superheroes, well, that's based on comic books, and comic books are bad. Okay.
And yet, you know, there's been a lot of dramas, a lot of dramatic movies that were based on graphics that nobody said anything about. Okay, so like I will tell you two right now, and people aren't aware that these movies were based on graphics. Road to Perdition.
Yep.
And I believe that was an Oscar winner. That's based on a graphic.
Yep.
American Splendor. That's based on a graphic.
Wanted.
Wanted. Based on a graphic.
There's people quite a few out there.
There are, you know, like there's a lot of books out there. Oh, you know what? Red. Yeah. Based on a graphic. The one with Colin Firth. That's where they're spies. There was like the one that was Kingsman.
Kingsman.
Yeah. Based on Rack, you know? Just saying, y'all. For people to kind of use something being based on a comic or based on a graphic novel as a quantifier for them not liking something, that is a very weak reason. That is weak sauce, because
we snuck a lot by you, folks, that you never understood.
You didn't even know it. You didn't even know it. Just saying.
But because it wasn't names like Iron Man, Captain America, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, you didn't know, so you couldn't show it. But right. But movies written or movies based on other projects like Kick-Ass, where is a superhero film. Watchmen, yeah, this is a superhero film. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, oh yeah, it's a comic book movie. Okay.
All right.
You're going to be harsh on those. Well, Watchmen and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen should, because even the creator was harsh on it because, well, it was Zack Snyder. Enough said. So, any final thoughts?
You know, I got one, and I just want to throw this out there real quick. There's something that came up in my feed. And this is this was a story that came up from Popverse, where talking about they were speaking with Chris Claremont, and his quote here, calling them X-Men is so 1960s. So Claremont has feelings about changing the name of the world famous mutants X-Men. Now he did, I guess back when he was writing this series, he had approached Marvel about changing the name to the X, which they explained to him that, you know, there's certain legalities that prevent them from just changing a major brand like that from one name to something else just for the sake of making it sound more modern. The reality is X-Men is name recognition. It is. If you were to up and change his name to something else just because there's a group of people who think that the name is outdated, you change that name, how many people are going to follow that?
Okay. Well, here's my question. If you change the name to one of the other names that was adapted out of the X-Men franchise, still kind of names the group and still groups them together. Okay, if X-Men is outdated because of how diverse we are in this day and age, cool. You have another branding that has had some credibility that could carry forward. What about X-Men now becomes X-Factor from this point forward?
Right. You could do that, or X-Force, there was a little bit of a joke about that, because in Deadpool 2, Deadpool wanted to name his team X-Force, and Domino says, that's a little derivative, isn't it? That's the other side of that too. Like I love if they were to change her name to X-Factor, I'd be all for that, because for one thing, I love that team anyway. I thought those were cool names.
I totally forgot about X-Force, to be honest with you. So if the name has already been put out there,
right,
even in a spoof manner with Deadpool in Deadpool 2, then just go ahead and change it to X-Force. Why not?
They could, but also I feel like that the non-comic reading public, they're not going to get that. They're going to be like, because the non-comic reading public, even if they haven't read a comic, they know who the X-Men are. They've heard of the X-Men. You know, if you say X-Factor or you say X-Force, they're going to say, who's that? Why do I want to see that movie? Oh, that's the group that used to be X-Men. They just changed their name. And you might get, oh, okay. You know, you might get why they changed.
But between X-Force and X-Factor, I think X-Factor could carry more household cred than X-Force.
I agree.
Even though I think X-Force would be the stronger name. So
if they were to go with X-Factor, I'd be all for it because that sucks. That's a cool sounding name.
Instead of going just X, utilize one of the other names that can be more diverse that's been created and a small branding has been made and established and build off of that. Instead of just going, oh, it's no longer the X-Men, it's just X.
I mean, at this point it looks like even as recent as X-Men, so it looks like even as recent as X-Men 19 from last year, that there's an issue where Firestar and Iceman are debating the name change. You know, so I'm not necessarily familiar with what that discussion looked like, but that was something that was discussed even in the X-Men comic. So,
to me, it seems like instead of going by X, because sorry, now you're going to be confusing it too much with what used to be Twitter, which is now X. You want these heroes to be representatives of Elon Musk's group with all the heat he has at the moment? I don't think so. I wouldn't. But why not? The more obvious would be the X-Force.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be the next obvious logical team name to go with.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week. If you want to email us your thoughts on anything you heard tonight or on this issue, email us at mightymarvelgeeks@gmail.com or hit us up on Instagram at Mighty Marvel Geeks or on X, formerly Twitter, at Marvel Geeks Thursday, if you would please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
I say it's time to go dark.